Good morning, everyone. It is a blessing to be here. Thank you for allowing us to come, and we're looking forward to sharing a little bit of what God is doing in Asia and in Thailand and some other parts of the world. It's kind of special to be here because this is Clifton's church, and I think he's actually Skyping in tonight, but big hello from Clifton and his family, and also from Abby Martin. She said to also say hi and give her greetings as well. So it's it's an honor and a privilege to be here in their home church, and I've never been here before, so I'm blessed to be here. So we have a program here that we're going to go through. First thing we're going to do is introductions, and I invite you all to come up now. And by way of introduction, my name is Jared Martin. From Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Originally, I live in Thailand currently, but just home for a short time here. So,
my name is Hans Stoltzvis, and I'm from Watsontown, Pennsylvania. It is very good to be here. And my parents are Tim and Linda Stoltzvis.
Hi, my name is Ben Zimmerman. I'm from Lebanon, PA. And my parents are Dale and Janet.
My name is Dallas Barkman. I am from McConnellsville, Ohio, and my parents are Clem and Michelle Barkman.
My name is Sarah Hirschberger. I am from Hutchinson, Kansas, and my parents are Daniel and Verna Hirschberger.
And my name is Cheryl Gingrich. I'm from Leon, Iowa, and my parents are Monroe and Levita.
My name is Chandra Hostetler. I'm from Arota, Virginia, and my parents are Eldon and Lois Hostetler.
My name is Brian Eish. I'm from Martinsburg, Ohio. My parents are Dwayne and Nancy from the same area. We feel very blessed to be here tonight. This tour almost didn't happen. When they first asked for volunteers, there weren't many. But this group is an answer to prayer, I guess. Work got shuffled around and priorities got shuffled, I guess, and the fact that we even got together was an answer to prayer. And then all the churches that we lined up was another answer to prayer. So we feel very blessed to be here tonight. The order of the service, we're going to start off with a few songs. Jared will give an overview of the school and what it consists of, and then he'll show the promotional video for that as well. Afterwards, several of us students will be giving testimonies about things that we learned and experienced there. After that, there will be a talk about the need for the gospel in Asia, some statistics and numbers of different regions and things like that. We will have another song in closing, and I think that's the end. There is a table set up at the back with information, some pictures, some more information. There's handouts. Feel free to take them. Got a lot of information back there about the school and the program.
The first song we're going to sing, or the song we're going to sing, is entitled Holy Ground. And traveling through Asia, all over the place, we saw shrines, we saw temples, and we saw places where people would go to worship, where they thought it was holy ground, where it had something to give. And I'm just so thankful this morning that we, as Christians, wherever we're at, it's holy. And it says, the first verse says, this is holy ground. And this is holy ground. And the second verse says, we have come before you with hearts made clean by Jesus. And that is the only reason we can, is because Jesus has made us clean. And we are made holy, and we are presentable before God. So worship with us as we sing.
song we're going to sing is called We Place You on the Highest Place. Another song of worship. Along with what Hans said about all the idol worship in Asia. They tend to put their temples on the top of the hill. Any high point they can find, a worship site of some sort. This song is not about placing God on a high hill because that's the only place to worship Him. We put Him on the highest place because He's worthy of all our praise and the best we can give. We'll invite you to sing along with this song. If you know it, feel free and join us in worship.
Amen. I'm so glad we have a God that is above all, that we can place on that highest place. I like they were sharing about people bowing before idols, and I don't know, there's just something that goes through your heart when you see someone just literally falling on their face in front of these big statues. And yet our God is so much bigger than that and greater than that, and He's above all and in all and through all. And what an opportunity to know this God that is God, this God above all. And that's really who we want to be glorified tonight. We're here to share about IGO, here to share a little bit about the program, what it is, but really it's about God. And, you know, God is using IGO. God is also using a lot of things. He's using Bradford, Pennsylvania Church as well. And so we do not want to minimize that, but we are here to share a little bit about IGO. And I'm just, well, I know Clifton's, of course, are there, so you probably have a pretty good idea of what IGO. How many of you don't really know what IGO is? I'm just curious. Okay, I figured most of you probably have at least somewhat of an idea. I'll just explain a little bit about what it is, and then we're also going to show a little video that shows a bit what life at IGO looks like. But so what is IGO? IGO is basically it's called Institute for Global Opportunities is what the acronym stands for, but it's basically a mission training school in Chiang Mai, Thailand, for Anabaptist people to come. If there's people that want to be involved in missions, IGO's goal is basically to provide a passageway for someone to be involved, for Anabaptist people to be involved in missions, especially in Asia and in that in other cultures. If I could put it in a nutshell, I would say IGO is three things. There's a classroom study, which is part of it. There's also ministry and mentoring. And classroom study is you study Bible, you study missions, and there's also lots of practical studies, such as how to teach English, some of those things. So a big part of it is studying. And then there's the ministry. Students are involved in ministry right in Chiang Mai City, as well as traveling to various Asian countries to learn from other missionaries or native pastors. And then there's also the mentoring. And the mentoring program basically is designed to help a student grow in their relationship with the Lord and to process their own life and work through things. And that's done through things like sharing together, praying together, taking times of solitude where you just go away and spend time alone with the Lord. So anyway, these are kind of what makes up IGO. And each year there's two semesters. Each semester is about 4 months long. One starts in September and goes to December. And then another one starts in January and goes to April. So IGO is for young people, married couples, even families we've had come as well. So we have a pretty big variety of different people that have come through the program. But just to give you an idea of where IGO is located, we have Thailand here, and just at the tip of that arrow is where Chiang Mai, Thailand is located. And just to give you an idea of where that is in relation to where we are, about right there, the red dot is Pennsylvania, and basically around to the other, pretty much the other side of the world. China would be just north of Thailand. A question that often comes up is, why is IGO in Thailand, and you know, why is it on the other side of the world? IGO seeks to give a hands-on learning experience, I guess, relating to different cultures. And so in order to do that, we are in Thailand. And also Thailand is considered an unreached nation, the land of Buddhism. Only about 1.3% of the people in Thailand would be considered Christian. So we bring the students right into that so they can go out there and see, you know, people bowing before idols and offering incense to appease the spirits and living their life of Buddhism, of emptiness. Thailand is also right in the middle of many unreached nations. Pretty much all of these nations around here are considered unreached. Very low percentage of Christians. The yellow dots here are places that students have visited here this past year, the past two semesters. So students take trips to these different countries to learn and to minister. And so, yeah, basically those are the, we also sent, we sometimes even go to the Middle East. We had two teams, one in Egypt and one in Jordan as well. That kind of gives you an idea of where the students would go. And this is just a picture of the semester, this last semester. And we're glad to have seven of those students that just got back here about 2 weeks ago. And a little later, they're going to be sharing some of their stories and testimonies of what God did in their lives. But one of the questions people often ask is, especially if anyone's considering coming to IGO, they say, you know, is IGO only for those that are that feel called to a foreign land? And I'll just say, we have students that have come that have that were sense the call directly from God, and they know what country they're going to. They're planning on being involved in missions, and so they come for more training, more learning, more study. But I would say the majority of the students that have come are ones that are, you know, they want to be involved in kingdom work, but are kind of unsure of where that is exactly. So it's a time of coming and just seeking the Lord, going, seeing needs, seeing places, seeing the opportunities. And then we also have students that would come that feel called to a place like Bradford or a place in the States, and are just coming to get more cross-cultural learning and more study. So next up we have a video, and hopefully this will give you a bit of an idea of what IGO looks like in daily life. It's about 11 minutes long, so I'm just going to change the mic over here and we'll get that up. All right, give that a try. Would it be possible to turn off some lights up here? All right.
Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion.
And across many countries are these same people stuck in this system of deception, but doing all they know simply because they don't know the truth.
Something happens when you go into a temple and you see people bowing down to idols. Or you see the monks out in the streets collecting food for their morning activities. You see spirit houses in each of their houses, and you discover that people are fearful, they're afraid of the spirits, and so they have a spirit house out in their front yard.
Actually holding a child who was orphaned at a young age, and then you see the difference. Just two people being faithful to God can make in all these children's lives. That is where statistics become tangible, and you actually see them.
Being in Asia has impacted my life in that I see God as being available to every person everywhere in the world, no matter if it's something big happening or something really small. Maybe it's something in a hidden corner. God is the same no matter where you're at.
I see God now as a God of the entire world, and He's not just the God of my culture and my community and my people group, but I see Him as a God, the God of the world.
IGO's mission is to bring learning and field experience together. The student can choose to come for one or two semesters, and within each semester you have three terms, and a term consists of 3 weeks of classes followed by a 10-day ministry trip. And it's in our goal in that ministry trip and the classes to bring learning and classroom training together with on-field experience.
Our desire is, yes, we give them that in the classroom. We want them to be able to actually live that out, practice that in a cross-cultural setting.
We believe it is through that combination we can train our students to be more effective for further service in the kingdom of God.
Being in the classroom at IGO is one of the most, I think, impactful things of being at IGO. Being in the classroom setting and just soaking up all this knowledge from the teachers.
One of my favorite classes was local church evangelism. It gave us lots of practical advice for not only how to relate cross-culturally, but how to relate to people from our own church and how the local body of Christ is supposed to relate to each other and work together.
My favorite class so far has probably been Kingdom Theology. And in that class, we talked about how working in God's kingdom is not just something that happens when you become a Christian. It's an actual choice and an actual lifestyle of moving into God's kingdom.
One of my favorite classes was cultural anthropology. It was a cultural class, and so it shaped the way that I viewed the rest of my IGO experience. It helped me accept some of the idiosyncrasies that we see in different cultures across the world and accept the people for who they were. At the same time, it also helped me accept my own culture.
I had heard these concepts before, but actually being here at IGO and going on trips in between helped cement that and reinforce it in my mind in new ways.
So after 3 weeks of teaching in a classroom setting, students have received an abundance of head knowledge. So these ministry trips are an opportunity for them to go out and use the tools that God has taught them in the classroom. Trips generally consist of about 10 days, and there is a large variety of things that students do on these trips. The goal for these trips is to cast vision. I like to call these trips vision casting trips.
We went to this fishing village way out in the middle of nowhere, and I remember we got there and there's these houses on stilts because there's water everywhere. We're at this family's house and there was this little baby, like just born, I think probably like 2 or 3 days ago. And I remember sitting there just like looking down at this baby and just like, who's going to share the gospel with them? If there's no preacher, who's going to go?
So we had an English camp and we were teaching the students while pastor was having a discussion with one of the students' parents. At around lunchtime, he gave his life to the Lord, and he spent probably 8 hours that day just studying the Word and getting to know the Savior, and that was one of my favorite experiences from that trip.
But one of them in particular sticks out, and that's my trip to Cambodia. Most of our time was spent interacting with the village kids and teaching English. I loved every minute of it. It was sort of the turning point of my time at IGO where I could say that, yeah, I could almost see myself doing this the rest of my life. It helped give me some direction for my future.
As I think of the purpose of Ministry Nights is to just bring learning and ministry together. So we felt like a good way of doing that is through the ministry nights. They can interact with the Thai people. By having ministry nights while this term is running, it provides a great atmosphere for those things. Questions to be asked, questions to be answered as best as we can. And so that's one of the main reasons for ministry nights.
So I was involved with two different ministry nights. The one was the CMCC English ministry. I chose that one because I knew that I would love it. I love working with kids, and that was a lot of fun. For my second semester, I was part of the university evangelism team. That was another way that God really proved himself faithful and led us to different people who were maybe willing to have a spiritual conversation.
Yeah, I did street evangelism, and I'd never done that before. So through practicing, you know, evangelism through my whole time at IGO, it just got a lot easier at the end. And, you know, there are still times, you know, you get scared, but, you know, trust the Holy Spirit and allow him to speak through.
The vision of the IGO mentoring program is to inspire and stimulate growth in the individual's lives and to become deeper rooted and grounded in their faith, in their assurance of salvation.
The mentoring program was very impacting for me. It helped me to process life and some of the hard things in my life story that I just before this blocked and didn't work through. I began to see my life story as a gift from God that he can work through and just find healing through it.
Mentoring, I think, is probably where I personally grew the most. Being in a group of guys and an older guy, just being personal about your struggles and just breaking down walls that sin has created in you and just getting rid of that is very powerful.
The most significant part of the mentoring program for me was the solitude days. I remember going on these solitude days and thinking, what am I going to do all day?
But at the end of the day, after just seeking God, just coming away knowing that God is real.
I've seen them go back to their churches, communities, and serving with renewed zeal, vision, and passion. Some of them getting clear direction for their lives, for their future.
IGO is not a miracle place. It's not like when you come, you'll leave and you'll be all equipped for everything that you're going to face in life. But I think one of the biggest things that IGO did for me was that it helped me to be more comfortable outside of my comfort zone. There were things that I had to do and I didn't know how to do them without God's strength.
Yeah, there's no way I'd be here today without IGO. You know, I never thought I'd be in a foreign country doing, you know, ministry. There's no way I'll ever do that. And IGO completely changed that viewpoint in my life.
Many are longing for more deeper teaching of the Word of God. It's our goal at IGO to have our students come over, expand their vision of the world, see the needs, have their eyes open to the unreached people groups, and go back home, share what they saw, and have our churches develop a greater burden for the lost around the world.
Good evening. It's good to be here. I guess there was a lot of about IGO shared, and I just thought I'd highlight, I guess, maybe a call to Christian unity tonight. Going to IGO, I didn't feel like that was really my thing for a number of years. God saw me through it, and it was good to be there. At first, I thought it was necessary to put on a front of who I was, and for a while I didn't see that everybody else, I guess, was going to accept me for who I was. And I was just talking with Jared about halfway through the entire semester, and he was just saying, well, just be yourself. And after that, things went a little bit better, and just dealing with my life story, as someone mentioned in the video through mentoring, was beneficial and very growing to me. I think I tend to want to deal with my problems personally. Maybe some of you would, tend to complain or, take out your frustration on others. But Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And I think it's very, very important to bind together as Christians and to love each other. And so I'd like to read a few verses out of Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, in the New American Standard says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, and that's the phrase I'd like to highlight, that you would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And who wouldn't want to understand the length and width and height of God's love? We try to comprehend how far stars are away from us, and I don't think even the best scientists can even still comprehend that. We try to figure out, how deep the earth is or how far Pluto is away from us, but just figuratively, God is so much bigger than even all those things. So I believe we as Christians are to bind together, and as that verse says, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the goodness and love and riches of God's love for us. So, God bless you.
I still remember the feeling of the first time that I walked through the Mubon, or the village there in Thailand. Almost every house had, in the front of the house, they had a spirit house that they would offer incense to every evening and sometimes every morning to appease the spirits so that they wouldn't be bothered. And around one house, I saw a lot of water bottles just sitting there. And I remember asking Jared, why the water bottles out in the front of their house? And he said, well, that's extra protection from the evil spirits. And just, I was just struck with how much fear these people are wrapped up in. But then I also had to think, what do I do with my fears? Do I have fear in my life? Because God says that love is made perfect, and it casts out fear. Satan, he works in many ways, and he doesn't care how he can get people wrapped up, but he just cares that he wraps them up in something, and often he uses fear. But in Christ there is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so I remember another time in Chonburi, I was talking to a Buddhist monk, and he had heard about Jesus, but he didn't ever know why we needed Jesus. And so I talked to him and explained to him the creation story and how because man has fallen and he sinned, there's redemption needed. And he just was speechless. He came to, all he could say was, it's not fair. We don't deserve that. And that is true. We don't deserve it. But God has chosen to do that for us, to give us the grace that we need. And for me, I go, and ultimately God gave me a focus change. No longer do I serve him because I feel like I need to do something to earn my salvation, but I serve him because I'm so grateful that he gave me the grace that he has given. And now I don't want to avoid sin. I want to please God, and that's where my focus is. And so I just want to bless you with that tonight.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed my time at IGO. I think one of the favorite things that I learned there was the creativity of God. We talk about a lot of attributes of God, but very rarely his creativity. And I'm not sure why, because it's pretty fantastic if you study into it. And I'll give you a couple examples. When I first went to IGO, one of my prayers was that God could make me more bold. I felt that I was very timid with sharing my faith and with speaking in front of people, leading any sort of group. I knew it was a problem, and I prayed for help. And I didn't know how it was going to come. I was assuming it would be some really good class time. Not quite how it worked. I got put in about 3 different English teaching groups while I was there. I think I was volunteered into leading almost every group I was in. And it was really frustrating because I didn't like it. And I can't remember when it dawned on me that this was a direct answer to my prayer. This is exactly what I was praying for. It's just not how I wanted it. And it was really cool. Once I saw that, once you see it, once you see his creativity, you'll see it everywhere. Stories from my ministry trips, people have taken their love for growing coffee and turned it into a ministry in China. That's